Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This felt like a week unlike anything we've ever seen before. Isn't it crazy to think that we were talking about Super Tuesday like last week? The world changed this week because of the coronavirus. It changed our politics. It changed even the way we put together our show. So on our show this week, we got Dr. Drew Pinsky, who I'm now co-hosting a show on Fox 11 in Los Angeles every night at 7, talking about coronavirus. We have Katie Porter, who's talking to us via Zoom because the Fox News Bureau in D.C., where we would have done the interview with her, stopped accepting guests because they're afraid of the coronavirus. And then we have Michael Knowles and Ethan Behrman on our panel here. And Lisa Bloom did our show via Zoom as well because she's decided to self-quarantine herself. So really, there is no bigger story than the coronavirus. And let's start with some medical expertise from one of the best-known doctors in the country, Dr. Drew Pinsky.
Dr. Drew Pinsky is here. He is my co-host for a special show every night at 7 p.m. on the coronavirus that airs on Fox 11 in Los Angeles. We interview top newsmakers and analysts for their perspective. Here we are with Dr. Oz. Even if you don't live in Los Angeles, we do a live broadcast on the Fox 11 Los Angeles Facebook page every night at 7 with Dr. Drew answering your questions live. That show, by the way, attracting more than 1 million viewers every single night. Part of what we try to do, Dr. Drew, is separate fact from fear.
Yes.
And that's really been our mission. And, yes. And, you know, one of the headlines this week is this national emergency. So I think a lot of people are wondering, why is this a national emergency when so many other flus or other incidents weren't considered national emergencies?
It's absolutely what I've been wondering the whole way whenever I have compared this particular outbreak to the current flu epidemic, to previous pandemics. I'm just asking people to calm themselves, to realize we've been through similar sorts of pandemics, very similar. Now, this one has its own special challenges, and you can't even remember them. You don't even remember what happened. This one, I got rather excited about it about 4 weeks ago because I could see the way people were reporting it that it was going to create a panic. I just knew it. I could see how it was going, and it wasn't necessary. And now we're in the middle of it. Now, look, we're taking very aggressive actions in terms of social distancing and not allowing crowds to congregate and self-quarantining. There's all kinds of actions going on now. That's going to make the curve of this epidemic flatten out. It's going to happen.
Right.
And so all the dire predictions were sort of unnecessary. And people are upset. Last night you talked about feeling like a wave was coming over you on our show.
Yeah.
And I that stayed with me all day, that whole feeling. I get that feeling. But I thought about the fact that even when Mother Nature comes at you with a giant set, you can always get underwater, and there's things you can do to get through it.
But there are a lot of people that see images from Italy, for example, and are scared of the possibility of that happening here and are grateful and think this is going to save lives, this reaction.
It is, and we should be taking. But again, don't mistake my being concerned about this thing spiraling into a panic with doing nothing or not doing a lot. But what I've been advocating for is that we listen to the CDC, right? Dr. Fauci at the CDC is the same. He knows what he's talking about. Just do what he tells us. He is still saying this will not affect the majority of Americans. Social distancing is a good idea. Limit your contact and travel. He said that all along. And if you're in a special risk category, really limit your moving about. And we should be doing that. We should be doing that. But we shouldn't be in a panic and fighting over toilet paper in the aisles at Costco.
Well, and let's talk about that fight over the toilet paper. What do you think? Because you study a lot of times people's mindset, right?
Yeah.
Is the sort of animalistic mindset of survival that's kicking in, and this moment in American history, unlike anything we've really seen before. What do you think is going on, and how do we sort of process this?
This is what I was afraid of. I refer you to a book called Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. It's been documented for centuries how people behave in situations like this. And it is the frenzy that is the problem. We're in a frenzy that is not necessarily what is called for here. A lot is called for. Don't get me wrong. A lot is called for, and we will have great success in doing so. By the way, the other thing, Alex, is that all these scary models that I'm seeing flying around the Twitter and the social media, those are mathematical models based on assumptions of no change in our behavior.
Yeah.
We are massively changing our behavior. The treatments are moving ahead very quickly. We are making huge progress. We're preparing for the hospitals to be able to handle an influx of patients. It's not going to be like Italy. Their eyes were closed, and they blinked, and we're not going to.
And let's talk a little bit more about some of that progress. What can people look for?
In terms of treatment. The treatment, what did I read today? 100 studies right now on treatments. Active studies underway. If we have 100 viable treatments that are under scrutiny, there's going to be at least 2 or 3 good ones that come out of that. I'm predicting it's going to be a combination of these very powerful antivirals that we have access to, for Ebola and AIDS and these sorts of things. They have to study these things. There's been some anecdotes that that's really been effective. We're going to have ventilators. Hospitals are prepared. We're just ready for this. And then we're all changing our behavior. Look at us. Right. So every model out there has got to take into effect these massive changes in what we're doing. And if China and South Korea is any example, it will come under control rather quickly.
So this is, next week we're going to see one of the first weeks where like almost everybody's off.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
What does that do to our society?
We're going to find out. It worries me. Kids' schools are shut down. Families have to leave work to take care of their kids. What about feeding the kids? We have people whose jobs are on the margin. I was in the southern part of the States today, and the hotel I was staying at was been emptied. No one's traveling. They had to send everybody home. They had to close their restaurant. I mean, it's having real effect on people's lives. Now, I'm not saying we should, their jobs and their and the economy has to be put ahead of safety and lives. I'm saying there's a way to navigate it where you can prioritize both and get it right.
All right, Dr. Drew, thank you so much for sharing your views. It's great to be a co-host with you.
It's
we hope
pleasure.
People will check out that show on Fox 11 Los Angeles, 7 o'clock, and also on the Fox 11 Los Angeles Facebook page.
Dr. Redfield, do you want to know who has the coronavirus and who doesn't?
Congresswoman Katie Porter getting lots of national attention once again for her questioning of the head of the CDC, pressing him for free coronavirus tests for all.
Dr. Redfield, will you commit to the CDC right now using that existing authority to pay for diagnostic testing free to every American regardless of insurance?
Well, I can say that we're going to do everything to make sure everybody can get the care they
need. Without cost, yes or no?
What I'm going to say is I'm going to review it in detail with CDC and the department.
No, I'm reclaiming my time.
I think you're an excellent questioner, so my answer is yes.
Excellent. Everybody in America hear that.
So that was after several minutes of back and forth, she got him to make that announcement. Congresswoman Katie Porter from Orange County, Democrat. Welcome back to The Issue Is. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And we should say that she's speaking to us via Zoom, which is a teleconference technology, because our bureau in D.C. is no longer having guests because of coronavirus. So like many different businesses, we're having to adjust and do things a little bit differently. So we appreciate you rolling with the punches as we all try to keep everybody safe.
Absolutely.
So, Congresswoman, that moment, you talking to the head of the CDC, he didn't want to say what he said there at the end, it appeared. He finally did. What did that moment mean to you when he did finally say that? Were you surprised that he said that?
Well, we had actually communicated to the director 1 week ago. My colleagues, Lauren Underwood and Rosa DeLauro, and I sent a letter to the CDC flagging for them that they have the existing authority under the law to provide for free testing in a public health emergency. So the fact that it took several minutes and many, many questions, and my really holding his feet to the fire to get him there. And in fact, his staffer passed him a little note while I was questioning him right there at the end that must have said, tell her yes, because that was the only way I got him to do it. But so this doesn't mean that every American needs to go get tested. Most of us are feeling great and healthy, and we hope that continues. What this does mean is that we don't want anyone who is experiencing symptoms to delay calling their doctor and inquiring about testing for fear of the cost.
Since we're California's only statewide political show, I want to ask you a couple California-centric questions. California, you know, has 150,000 homeless people in this state. What happens if there's a coronavirus outbreak in the homeless community, and what can the federal government do to help deal with that crisis?
So we're going to see community transmission, and that means there are lots of different kinds of members of our community who may need coronavirus treatment. And so we have community health centers. We're pressing the administration very hard, and I know the governor, Governor Newsom, is working very, very hard on this to make sure that testing is available in all the different pockets of our state of California and all the different communities, including our homeless community.
Disneyland shutting down, all sports shutting down, the governor saying less than 250 people should be gathered at one time. Is this a good thing? Is this an overreaction? Is this worth the economic impact?
So I think the thing that's going to stabilize our economy is certainty. That's what markets don't respond to. They don't respond well to uncertainty. And so what we're doing is taking these aggressive steps to try to keep people safe, to try to slow the rate of transmission, to try to prevent deaths, to make sure that we have time to get tests, to get treatments, to get the medical system up to speed and not have it be overwhelmed. By doing all that, ultimately, we're going to have a healthier workforce, we're going to have fewer people who fall ill, and we're going to get through this a lot quicker. And I think one of the things the Trump administration has frankly struggled to do is develop a plan, articulate it clearly to the American people, and stick with it. That's what's causing a big chunk of this market upheaval and this economic anxiety.
Thank you so much for sharing your views on what is a week unlike anything we've ever seen before.
You know, I feel like that's the third time people have said that to me. I feel like that happened during the shutdown, that happened during impeachment, and now that happened during coronavirus. Yeah. So it's definitely been a very exciting first year in Congress.
Yeah. All right. Hopefully it gets to be a little easier going forward. All right.
Yeah, thank absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
This is the most aggressive and comprehensive effort to confront a foreign virus in modern history. I am confident that by counting and continuing to take these tough measures, we will significantly reduce the threat to our citizens, and we will ultimately and expeditiously defeat this virus.
President Trump declaring a national emergency this week, the coronavirus completely upending the presidential race and pretty much everything in American life. Let's talk about that and more with our panel. In the House this week, Michael Knowles is the host of the book club on PragerU. He hosts the Michael Knowles Show for the Daily Wire, where he digs into the big issues of the day. And during impeachment, he co-hosted the Verdict with Ted Cruz podcast, which, by the way, became the top podcast in the entire country. Take that, Joe Rogan. Ethan Behrman, a progressive attorney based here in Los Angeles. You can hire him at thebehrmanfirm.com. He's a frequent guest on the Fox News channel. Here he is arguing with Tucker Carlson down the street from us. And joining us via Zoom is attorney Lisa Bloom, one of the best known attorneys in the country. Lisa, you've decided to self-quarantine. Welcome. What's up with that? Tell us about that.
Well, I choose to follow doctors and scientists and not our government, because we know that our government has repeatedly lied to us about this. 4 weeks ago, I could see what was going on, and I stopped touching anybody except my husband. No handshakes, no fist bumps, et cetera. Now everybody's doing that. A couple of weeks ago, I got everybody in my law firm up and running remotely and advised if people want to stay home, they should stay home. We can see where this is going, and the most civic-minded thing to do, even if you are healthy, is to stay home, work from home. I don't know if I'm asymptomatic. I'm perfectly healthy, by the way, but we could be asymptomatic. You could be spreading disease. Why do that if we don't have to? I think the next couple of weeks, the next month, are just critical. And the more people can social distance, the better. Washing your hands is not sufficient.
Interesting perspective. All right, let's dig into some of the politics of this week. Let's start with you guys. And Michael, what do you make of President Trump's performance in this? This is the biggest crisis he's faced as president.
It is, and I think he's done a very fine job. Obviously, not a perfect job. There are always mistakes that are made, especially in these crises. But especially today, you don't need to take my word for it, the market responded very well to President Trump's declaration of a national emergency. I thought that news conference that he gave was much better than the Oval Office address. The market's up, I think, something like 200 or 2,000 points, rather. It was very smart to immediately cut off travel from China, which he was pilloried for at the time, which Joe Biden called xenophobic, said if he were president, he wouldn't have done it. I think that dramatically reduced the spread of the disease. And, you know, he appointed his number two guy to run it, Mike Pence. I think that showed some seriousness from the administration. Now the European travel ban as well. They're taking it very seriously. The government perhaps is overreacting, as it should in a public health crisis. And I think it gives us confidence.
Let me guess, you don't agree with that.
Well, in some ways, I actually do, that the market responded favorably to the national emergency declaration. The problem was President Trump didn't take it seriously. For the first 2 months that we knew about this virus, it was really important that he addressed it seriously. He kept saying it's taken care of, it's going away, that's nothing to it, we're going to have the vaccine in a couple of weeks. He botched the initial steps. Thankfully, we had Dr. Anthony Fauci there, who at least had some balance and semblance of rationality from an epidemiology standpoint. instead of what the president and Mike Pence and others were doing. So moving forward, I'm glad that that announcement was made today. This is very serious. I appreciate what Lisa Bloom is doing. I think that that's actually an excellent example.
And Lisa, let's go to you. Your thoughts on the president's reaction.
No, absolutely not good enough. What we have is the president today surrounded by corporate CEOs and Dr. Fauci. What do we know about Donald Trump? We know that at the beginning of this crisis, just a few weeks ago, he said there's 15 cases, it's going to go down to zero, everything's going to be fine. What did he say today? Some of the doctors say it will wash through, it will flow through. Literally no doctor has ever said that. Donald Trump very viciously retaliates against anybody who does not stay on his message. I do not trust the government. No American should trust the government in this crisis. And we should not trust anybody who is standing next to Donald Trump. Dr. Fauci, I think, is doing his best under these constraints, but he has said this is going to be over maybe in 8 weeks. There is no scenario by any reputable scientist that this is going to be over in 8 weeks. That's the pressure that he is clearly feeling from his boss, Donald Trump.
But Lisa, Dr. Fauci is the government, right?
He reports to Donald Trump. Donald Trump explicitly a couple of weeks ago said, everybody has to stay on message. They have to follow his messaging. What has he said over and over again today? We're all doing a great job, me and the CEO of Target, and we're all going to help the cruise lines. I'm sorry, but I don't care about the big cruise lines. I care about the health of Americans. And the information is not getting out to people that social distancing is essential. People should be staying home. Of course, we should be washing our hands, but that is just not sufficient. And I don't think any of us are particularly staying up at night worrying about the cruise lines, Target and Walmart.
Well, unless you, of course, you work for the cruise lines, Target or Walmart. Yeah.
Look,
Michael.
You know, I think that if the consequence of this is that the left trusts the government less than they do now, that's fine by me. But I think there's a little bit of a double standard going on with the criticism of President Trump. As you say, at the very beginning, he didn't take it seriously. He didn't take it seriously on his Twitter account. He didn't take it seriously at the rallies. I think in part that was to quell markets, perhaps, and to also bolster his political advantage. Mm-hmm. But he did take it seriously as a matter of policy, in particular by cutting off travel from China. And to use a comparison that has been thrown around and in some ways is useful. When you look at swine flu, Barack Obama did not publicly acknowledge swine flu until after 1,000 Americans had died from it. So far, we've got about 41 deaths from coronavirus. President Trump acknowledged this publicly before a single American had died.
Should he still be shaking everybody's hands and being all buddy-buddy when the message is literally the opposite of what he's doing?
I think some people on the left and in the media are probably hoping that he keeps shaking people's hands, but he's basically trying to calm fears. There's no evidence that he has it or that he's tested positive for it, and I think while the government responds, we need to encourage calm among the public, if for no other reason, because we still need to buy toilet paper and people are running on the stores.
Yes, not enough toilet paper. Meanwhile, there's a presidential race going on that he's in, but there's also a primary race still going on, which is crazy to think. A week ago, it was Super Tuesday, right? Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, the race goes on, sort of limps on now with this sort of virtual campaigning. Is it time, Ethan, for Bernie Sanders to say, all right, I'm out? I mean, there's not necessarily a path for him. What do you make of the decision to stay in this race?
Well, I understand why he's staying in the race. I don't agree with him. I really think he should step aside and let Joe Biden be our nominee so we can start coalescing and doing all of our efforts to go after President Trump. We don't want him in office in January. Bernie's message mattered in 2016 the most. It has set the tone for focusing on health care for Americans again, focusing on the student loan debt that is so tragic and holding people back that are in their 20s and even into their 30s. But it is time for him to step aside. It is time for Joe Biden to be our nominee and to lead us forward, as Joe Biden ever so presidentially spoke yesterday about the coronavirus.
Lisa, to you, what do you think?
I think it's time for Bernie to step aside. I voted for him in 2016 in the primary, a vote I now regret. I think he's become nothing but a spoiler. That's what he was in 2016. I think he's one of the many reasons why Hillary Clinton lost, but he didn't really full-throatedly support her when it was her time, and he stayed in much too long and was too divisive. And he's doing it again. You know, this is life and death, not only because of coronavirus, but because of climate change. It's time for him to do what is best for the country, do what all of the other candidates did when it was clear that they were not going to win, which is very graciously step down and give a big endorsement to Joe Biden.
So assuming that this is Biden, Michael, after all of this, because the president has really been running on the economy as his main accomplishment, now we've seen this extraordinary economic decline. Are you more concerned about the president's chances?
I'm much more concerned. I think Trump would have a much better chance against Bernie Sanders. I think he'd win every single state, plus American Samoa and maybe Greenland, too. Joe Biden presents a tougher challenge, and the economy is going to be a big issue. However, I think the fact that Bernie Sanders is not getting out of the race has a very practical reason which could help President Trump, and that is that Joe Biden is not the man that he was 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago. He is slipping on the campaign trail. He is forgetting his boss's name. He's forgetting his own name. I think if you put those two men next to one another on a debate stage, especially if this crisis continues, Americans are not going to want a man who can't remember where he is as president.
By the way, California, New York, Vermont would vote for Bernie Sanders. Ethan.
No, I was just going to say, do you really think that Donald Trump is going to debate, though? I think that this is a serious question. Right. Is will Trump actually debate, or is he going to avoid debating?
Oh, if he'll absolutely debate. I think President Trump, no matter what you think of his arguments or his logic, is an excellent presidential debater. He stomped those 16 other Republican candidates, and he did the same to Hillary Clinton.
He's much
quicker with his wit. Don't forget that. There was the, when they accused him of being mean to women, he said only Rosie O'Donnell. When Hillary said she didn't want to live in Trump's America, he said because you'd be in jail. That's very effective on the debate stage.
He's a good TV performer.
He is.
I think nobody can take that away from him. All right, well, we want to have a little bit of fun, because this week has been tough, right? It seems like a million years ago, but just a few weeks ago, we hosted a town hall at USC with Mayor Pete Buttigieg. Remember him when he was a presidential candidate? We played personal issues, and we learned this about him. Who's your favorite TV character of all time?
Captain Picard.
Oh, my God. Me too.
New tonight, Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
Your friend from South Bend.
His special guest host with Sir Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, that's absolute right. Thrill. Mayor Pete filled in for Jimmy Kimmel on ABC this week and interviewed Patrick Stewart himself. So what are the long-term and short-term societal impacts of all this, of society essentially shutting down? Back with our panel, Michael Knowles, Ethan Bierman, and Lisa Bloom joining us via Zoom from her self-imposed quarantine. So Lisa, I'm sure you've thought a lot about this. Let's start with you.
Yeah, so what my husband and I are doing is staying home almost entirely. That's what we've been doing over the last couple of weeks, going to work occasionally. Now I'm working entirely from home, and I can fight for all of my clients remotely because the courts are all working remotely now too. Eventually, everybody's been catching up with what we're doing. In my off hours, I'm doing a lot of cooking. I have a vegetable garden, so it's really no particular, you know, struggle for me watching Netflix. I think in the long term, what we're all going to learn from this experience is that when life presents you challenges, you have to look at the facts, you have to use your critical reasoning skills and decide for yourself what the reliable information is, and then you have to act quickly. You have to adapt quickly. The containment measures we take now are going to save potentially hundreds of thousands of lives, and that's why you kind of have to get out ahead of it and not wait for everybody else to do it before you take a radical step like we're taking.
Ethan, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that community in a new sense is going to happen where we find it and we connect with each other. I really look forward to this, actually. We connect in a new way, in a little more intimate settings than necessarily going to large concerts or Disneyland. I love Disneyland. But connecting in a more intimate way with our fellow human beings. And that is a new way to approach it. So like Lisa said, I don't know that everybody can stay home. If you live in a small apartment, like a lot of people here in Los Angeles, staying home all the time isn't the right answer. But finding small groups to get together with and connecting on a personal level is the way forward.
How does this change us?
I think it changes us. I think a lot of people are going to disagree with me. This is going to change us by showing that Trump is actually right about everything. Hear me out.
Oh, God.
The reason I think this is the big takeaway from the coronavirus is everything Trump has been talking about. The threats from globalization, the reliance on the Chinese supply chain, the problems with open borders. I mean, if you look just in Italy, in the city of Milan, right, that's the city that more than any other imported low-wage Chinese factory workers to produce their garments, and they hit it the worst. And so I think it actually does back up a lot of what we've been talking about, the need to kind of control our own country. People who are upset with the federal government's response, I think it's going to renew people's sense of localism, wanting to do things at the state and local level. I don't want to paint too rosy a picture, but I think that we could come out of this much better than we were before.
Lisa, I think I could hear your sigh all the way from here.
You
said that. Last word quickly to you.
let's just remember that President Trump is the one who looked directly at the eclipse. He's the one a couple weeks ago who said we have 15 cases, it's going to go down to zero all by itself. If you think this crisis is going to make him look good, you have not been paying attention to the things that he's been saying.
I think it will make his political agenda look good. He's got a few unfortunate episodes in the meantime, but I think overall it actually vindicates a lot of what he's been saying.
Are we going to just build a wall around the entire country and never let anybody in from any other country ever
again?
That's completely unrealistic.
That's only when there's a crisis that you do that. Otherwise, we need the flow of people and ideas and cultures and food from around the world.
But we're in a crisis now.
I was hoping that last segment would bring us together, but apparently it did not.
Thank you so much for listening. Connect with me on social media at Alex Michelson. You can also watch our daily show with Dr. Drew at 7 o'clock Pacific time every day on the Fox 11 Los Angeles Facebook page. We're on Fox 11 and TV, but on the Facebook page, you can watch it from wherever you are. And write in your questions. And Dr. Drew and I work hard to get to as many questions as we can, answer them, because I know there's a lot of need for information right now in a pretty uncertain time. So we thank you. We hope that you're safe. And we hope that we can all get through this together. I'm Alex Michelson. Thanks for listening.